Welcome back to He Says, She Says, God Says. This is part two of our long distance relationship episodes.
Hope you enjoyed the first ones. And so you're in for a treat for these two as well.
You should listen to them even if you're not long distance relationshiping, because there's some great advice in there for every dating couple, I think.
I think so, yes.
So this episode we have Byron and Tegan and we have Kyle and Jess. Both who now reside in Canada.
Vancouver.
But they're not all from Canada, so.
No. Yeah, so, hear out for those various accents.
Various accents, but great stories, great couples, and I think you're really, really going to enjoy this episode.
Enjoy.
Kyle and Jess, welcome to He Says, She Says, God Says.
Thank you.
We're at camp. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? In Vancouver.
Camp to be at.
Now, I'll say, we're in Vancouver, which is the Australian version of saying Vancouver. Is that the right way to say it?
Ask the Brazilian, you've got to ask the Canadian.
Sure, sure.
How do you say Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. Is that close? Was I close?
Sure.
They're also very, very polite. They're not going to tell you.
That was rubbish. That's right. So we're talking about long distance relationships, and you're a local, Kyle. But you're not from around here, are you, Jess? Certainly not with that accent.
No, from Bristol, right, in the UK.
Yep. So that's still like the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
It was actually at a camp.
Yeah, okay.
Not like this, though. A little bit different. We had more traditional camps back in the day. It was a campground, marquee, tents, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cool. And how long ago was this?
We were just thinking about that, trying to nail this down. All we could come up with was that we were married in 2007, and it was 3 years prior to that, so that was the closest we could...
Obviously, we're bad at math.
Well, 2004.
Yeah, let's call it 2004.
Yeah. 2004.
And so was it love at first sight?
Oh, how much detail do I go into?
Oh, go on. I'm sat here.
I've told a few... I'm pretty sure I've told a few people this, but not the whole world was something that gets... digitally blasted across the globe. So I guess I need to explain it because it is part of my testimony and part of the experience of dating. And so my dad used to manage the setting up and organize the camp, and that included the visitors and everything. So I knew that Jess was coming before other people knew.
And so hang on, did you go down the list and go, who are all the single ladies that are coming?
Some would think that I did, but no, I didn't. Because I was I 18 yet? No.
You were 18.
Yeah, so I was 18. I had no intention. My mind wasn't there. I knew I wanted to date and get married, but I wanted to travel. That's what I wanted to do. I was excited that I was 18 and getting ready to travel to other assemblies and meet people. That's what I wanted to do. So I wasn't thinking about that. I can even remember where I was, but I had this unusual feeling. And I remember I was driving my car and I was, I can't remember where I was going, but I was going across this bridge and camp was about a week away. It was coming up quick. And I had this strange feeling that this Jessica was going to be the one that I married.
And you'd never met her, never laid eyes on her.
Never talked to her.
It's a magical name.
What do you put that down to?
Weird. I took that thought and thought, that's weird. And I shoved it away as quick as I could. Yeah. I wanted nothing to do.
Because he's not an airy-fairy guy. Like, he's not like that, actually.
It's not my thing. But that's why, whilst I hesitate to explain that, because that's a pretty, it's a... You've never talked or met this person, you have this thought.
There's a reason he doesn't want to admit to it.
do you think the spirit was moving on you?
So 100%, I do. And as we go through this, the story, you'll understand why. And that's how I understood why that was. So yeah, that was the beginning of it, had that thought. But I was also, whilst I had that thought, I didn't want it to influence my actions or even my thinking once I did meet her. So if anything, it might have even made me be a little bit more standoffish, and I thought it was a foolish thought, is what I thought. I didn't want anything to do with it. I thought, that's foolish. Try to shove it away. And then I remember the first time I met her. I was at camp. I was getting set up, and I had to run to a brother's house to go and pick something up for, I think it was for setting up the sound. Yeah, so took off from camp, headed over to this brother's house to go and pick up some stuff, and Jess was there. So that was the first time that we had met.
And when you met him for the first time?
Yeah, when I met him for the first time, I thought he piqued my interest for sure. He did, because, and as well, I knew that he was helping at setting camp. So I knew he was one of the hands-on guys.
Yeah.
So that had always like impressed me of like people who help.
So people who help get involved in supporting fellowship.
Like even I would have found this out later on, but the fact that he sang up in the choruses totally impressed me. So the fact that he was busy helping, that is one of the things that, not a tick box, a tick box. Mm. That was actually kind of super important to me, because this is going to sound awful now, but basically blokes who won't help, I'm absolutely not interested in. Not interested in whatsoever. So if you ain't going to be helping around in the assembly, it wasn't someone I was going to be looking at at all. But also, like, I'm 19, so I'm extremely young.
Well, it's not a bad quality to look for in people, is it?
Well, that's the thing, right? Mm. So it was highly encouraged in our assembly, and I had seen blokes who didn't want to help put away simple things like put away chairs. And I'm just like, I'm not interested in that whatsoever, because it says a lot about your character and about your heart and where you're at. Mm. If you're not happy to do the little things and do it grumbling. Anyway, that kind
of... So how did the romance develop? Did it develop that camp?
It did, yeah.
For sure.
I just was actually explaining this. We had youngies the other night here at camp. And as we all know, there's quite a few couples here at this camp. So giving them some word of encouragement, it reminded me of my experience with Jess. And at that camp, one of the things that really stood out to me is our relationship started on the foundation of the things of the Lord. We were just having fellowship and sharing blessings. And that had a major impact on me. It wasn't about interests. It wasn't about sports. I love sports. It wasn't about hiking. It wasn't about music. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was straight up about the blessing of the camp, things that she had seen in the Word, things that I had seen in the Word, things that we had seen in that camp, our past experiences.
So one of the details as well is that I was 19. My brother was, 16? Was younger. So his family were actually looking after me and my brother at camp. Like, we had our own tent set up and everything like that, but we'd have our meals together. So in the morning, when we're like having coffee, the rest of the family's buzzing around, we'd just be having a regular conversation, but the Lord would always come into it.
Yeah.
But it came into it easily, that it was like, it was blessings first. And that was special. Mm. That was really special. And that happened quite a few mornings in a row, that it just came so easily into the conversation.
Mm. I think it just built from there. It started out there, and it just built from there.
And plus, I thought he was pretty cute, so that helped. And then he was super handy, so that also helped. And then he was really good with his baby brother, so that also helped.
Yeah, I must have been on form that camp.
Oh, come on.
And so how long was the camp?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And so what happened at the end of 2 weeks?
At the end of 2 weeks, so then we had a week left after, and it was just hanging up. Did we spend a lot of time with each other then?
We didn't get to. I
had a hope that he liked me, and a hope I hadn't made a fool of myself at the same time, because Carl hadn't said anything to me either. He bought me a CD at the airport to say goodbye.
Ooh.
Oh,
what was the CD?
Oh, look at his face. Like, you telling that story?
What was the CD?
Beach Boys.
So during camp, there was a little bit of a joke going on with my brother, and there was one song on we're going deep, on the CD that, wouldn't it be nice if we were older? And
it's
we
a great
kind
song.
Of reconnected on that song. And it's so, it's almost embarrassing at that point. But that became our song at camp.
Yeah.
So at the airport, he had gone out and bought this CD and gave that CD to me at the airport when we left.
And so did you know then?
I hoped. At that point, I hoped. But the thing is, I'm very cautious. And so I had hoped, but we'll wait and see if he calls. Mm.
I was the same way. Because she was staying at our house, I couldn't be there, so I had to go and stay at my brother-in-law's house at the time, and we went as a group, we went out for the day and that kind of thing. While we were at camp, and near the end, I think it was actually on the last day of camp, I went and spoke to our ministry and let him know. His response was you know, good, encouraging. But he asked that I wait 1 month. He said, wait 1 month and just see, you know, if you still have feelings after a month, come and let me know. And I actually thought that was very, very wise.
Pretty wise,
you
know, yeah.
Make sure that it wasn't just a spur of the moment thing. So
okay.
That was camp. That was after camp. She left. Yes, I bought her a CD. I can't even remember if there was any. I think I was just trying to be funny.
Oh, don't downplay it now.
No, I genuinely can't remember if there was anything behind that, but maybe.
Yeah. Of course there was. We all know there was.
Come on now.
And so you waited a month?
Waited a month.
Then what happened?
Still had feelings, so went and spoke to our ministry again and confirmed. And so he spoke to Jess's ministry, which happened to be her dad, which made it all the more nerve-wracking for myself, and then things kicked off from there pretty much.
Phone calls.
Again, we were in a little bit of an, you know, that era was a bit of an awkward point in the digital world where, you know, email was around. I think MSN Messenger was like just coming out and some people were using it. But in the fellowship, like that kind of stuff was so new, it was, you know, you're sort of shied away from it.
So our communication, were we given half an hour once a week? It started off with
twice a week, 30 minutes on a Wednesday or Wednesday, because you guys had Thursday meetings, and 30 minutes on a Saturday.
And handwritten letters
on a phone
and handwritten letters.
But we could write to each other.
My wife and I have a box, which is hard to describe on audio, but it would be 2 feet long, a foot wide, a foot high, full of letters that we wrote when we were
That's really sweet, because that's
fantastic.
Not him. He hates writing
letters. Here's the other part of the story. What did I write? 3 letters?
Yeah.
I was not a letter guy.
Don't get me wrong, though. He would send me lots of flowers, so.
And I assume phone calls were expensive back then,
right?
Yeah. So this is not a cheap exercise to ring half an hour
away. No, but half an hour when you really like someone and you can.
Yeah, but this is on your parents' dime. This is not
on my dime.
Oh, no. Right. But like you have these special bundles back in the day where like you get many.
I wasn't
paying for it, but you did then. You had special bundles.
It was a learning experience. Yeah. When you first start.
Yeah, I wasn't paying for it. You were calling me.
Yeah. I didn't know, because long distance calling wasn't the thing that you really did, right?
Yeah.
And there were. You know, at first I started with calling cards, and then there was programs that were out where you could save a bit of money. But it was a costly exercise. Luckily, from that perspective, it was only half an hour each call.
So how did that process? Did that feel like the letters and the emails?
First phone call is always awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excited and like, what on earth do you say? Like, now we both know we like each other. Yeah. We haven't been able to do that. So the first phone call is always just like...
Because
nerve-wracking.
The last time we had spoken was from the other side of the fence, so to speak.
Yeah.
And now we've both just come aware that we do like each other.
Mm.
And so it clicked,
and the conversation would go smoothly. It wasn't hard finding something to talk about, because that's also a key sign. If you're struggling to find stuff to talk about after a while, like it's probably not the one.
Probably no, not.
Probably
in fact,
not.
I'd almost guarantee not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's cautiously dancing on that line. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it too, you know, obviously there's challenges with long distance relationships, but one of the things that really gets highlighted is your ability to communicate, because that's your only form. So you're not dependent on any other form of that relationship.
And how important do you think the verbal communication is compared to the written form? Do you think the verbal is...
So from a girl's point of view, you want a girl's point of view?
I want both of your point of view.
Okay, so from a girl's point of view, the verbal communication is key. It's what you look forward to. But the written communication is what you moon at over nighttime when you're like in bed.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, isn't he sweet? He wrote this in a letter, and you reread it and reread it and reread it. So
both are important.
No, the verbal is key.
Yeah.
Most important.
Yeah.
The written is a nice keepsake. Mm.
Yeah.
That's like kind of romantic and sweet, but verbal is absolutely.
We'd all be surprised if somebody was courting or dating and they were writing to each other and they didn't keep the letters. Like, I think that would be an unusual thing. Mm. So,
but if you're thinking today, right?
Yeah, that's
lots
thinking.
Of messaging.
You have to be careful,
right?
And
so if the whole relationship develops over message,
yeah.
it's not the same as having a conversation.
And miscommunication would happen all the time because you will put that text message or that in a certain tone. And that's come from your own head. Like, that might not have been a tone he put it in.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, I could get offended over something that he doesn't care less about.
Because you have your own fears. Does he like me? Does he not like me? What does that mean? You put all this meaning into message that isn't written.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be a healthy combination of both.
Yeah.
But I think primarily verbal communication is critical.
Yeah,
like in any relationship or human interaction that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else worked for you both? What else did you, did you find that really hard, only having short periods of time a week or?
Yeah, it was. I also had another sister who was getting to know a bloke at the same time, so it was like a fight over the phone at the time. But eventually it moved up.
There was just a bit of backstory. Her dad being a pastor needed to have, because back then you had a phone line. They didn't have two phone lines. Mm. They had one phone line. Yeah. And so if somebody in the fellowship had to get a hold of him, he had to be able.
So we couldn't be on the phone for hours.
That was the main reason for it.
Yeah.
And so because we understand and respected that, I think that made it a little bit easier. It's still, it was still hard, but because you understood the reason behind it, you could appreciate it.
So I think the half an hour is fine up to when we had our first trip. We have our first trip. We become boyfriend and girlfriend. We very much like each other.
Who went where?
So I traveled over, I think. So it was a month after camp was confirmed we could keep in contact. And I went over in like April the next year, something like that. So we were doing the half an hour twice a week thing for
about 4 months.
Maybe a bit more.
Yeah.
And we've missed a point which we thought about bringing up about.
Oh, during our conversation.
During our, so I have sisters and of course you talk about like, oh, what should I do? Like, what do you think of this? All this kind of thing. And I said to one of my sisters, I'm not going to name her. I said to one of my sisters, like, I'm going to pray about it. And she goes, why do you need to pray about it? You'll just know. And I said this to Kyle on the phone. And one thing, and I knew like this was good when he said it of, look, he said to me, look, you'd pray about your job. You would pray about other things going on. Why wouldn't you pray? Did you say husband? I feel like, why wouldn't you pray about your future partner? And the thing that he said was, because the Lord knows what you need now in a partner, and he knows also what you need 10 years down the track in that same partner. So why wouldn't, it's like the most important thing to pray about. So it's not just about this feeling of, do you like them? And to me, that made complete sense, because you have to trust that you're a different person 10 years down the track. And like you, what you need in a husband 10 years down the track, the Lord will know what is inside the heart of that man.
That's a fair bit of wisdom coming out of an 18-year-old.
But this is...
It's good.
Yeah, but this... I don't want to pump him up too much, but he's steady. Mm. This is what I liked about him, is like he's not overly hyper-emotional, but he's steady. And this started to show early on. And this was just like, I was able to go back to my sister and tell her that, or like, see?
It's a very, very wise.
It was true. It was, and that from there on helped.
It stemmed, there's a bit more, it stemmed from a conversation that you'd had with your sister about the things that you felt that you needed in a man, in a brother.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where this conversation started between the two of us. And it was actually something that I had seen myself while I was praying about her, because I had that exact thought for myself, that I can have my own desires, my thoughts of what I think is right for me, but I wanted what the Lord knew would be right for me. That's what I wanted. And
And there's one other thing also that I believe is key as well. So I had previously gotten to know somebody else. It didn't go further than friends. But Kyle was sure and steady. And like, he knew there wasn't a wobble from him that he was in this and that he wasn't sure. And that was everything. For the bloke to be sure, like I was a little nervous and a little bit, but he had me. I knew that I didn't have to be nervous on the account of whether he wanted to get to know me or not. And I think that also was kind of key, that like the whole time along, it's just there was no wobble from him. And for me to be able to like trust in that and know that he was solid, absolute key. Like it was really, really nice for me as a girl, like as a woman, to be able to like trust in that and just kind of develop my feelings as we went along. Mm. And like, yeah, that was also like a big thing as well, that he was sure.
That stemmed from some ministry that we had been given from our pastor. Had mentioned, you know, it was a lot of, there was quite a large group of young people in our fellowship at the time. And we were, you know, within there was a good spread of 1 to 2 years from this group and that group. And so there was a steady flow of young people coming into age where they would be dating. So he gave some pretty stern encouragement, but he simply said, you know, don't look for a girlfriend. He said, look for a wife. And so that was my mindset through the whole thing, was that I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. That's what the world does. You know, in the world's mind, it's, you know, they're trying to just tick a box and fill a means. And often maybe it's even the thought of it being temporary. It suits them now. They're not really thinking about down the road. But in the Lord and the way that God has purposed it, that's not the intent. It's something that's longer than that, that's meant to be established for time.
Well, it's not for now, it's forever, right?
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got together somewhere. Where did you get together?
England, at the airport. Yeah. Is that what we're getting at? And then he was just, what I thought was beautiful, he was sure. As soon as we like met each other, gave each other a hug, got on the thing, he was holding my hand on the coach back.
Yeah.
He'd given me a necklace. But the thing is that this is all, how do I even put it into words? Like, he was leading the way. He was, this is what I want to do. Like, and to me, for someone like who was nervous, like, I can't put into words how much that made me like, but I'm very much like men to be men and let the man lead the way. And even though he was young, he was doing that. And that gave me comfort and it made me feel a lot better, because then it's nice for the girl to be able to kind of like, you know, take a step back and like let them take charge of it. It's nice. So.
Is there an age difference between you?
There is. You don't like this bit.
It's about the maturity level, isn't it?
I'm a year older and it bugs the heck out of him.
A year's nothing.
You're in the wrong way, that's all. But like I said, it's about the maturity level.
And so you were there for a while. Obviously, this romance developed.
Yes.
How long did this long distance thing go for?
3 years.
Three years.
So the long and the short of it, there's a bit in the middle that we haven't addressed yet, but the long and the short is Dad didn't want us getting married without him being 21.
Right.
Which now as an adult, like I get, but 3 years is hard. When you love someone, 3 years is hard. Like I often said to Carl, when you love someone enough, it's better to have them at a distance than not at all. But there are times where there was big gaps.
How long?
The biggest was 10 months.
Right.
And that was, we weren't engaged at that point. The next trip after that gap ended in engagement. But that gap, that almost broke me. I remember I picked him up from the airport and I said to him, don't you ever do that to me again. That was the first thing I said. That was hard.
Yeah. So how did you survive? How did you survive 10 months?
This is the twist in the story, is his parents left the Lord in that part. And the assembly was going through a hard moment in that part. Mm. So Kyle needed to be in Canada. I got the phone call. I had no clue what was going on in Canada at that point. I got a phone call at work saying my family's left. And I remember at that point, just even then, man, we had, for young kids, we had a head on our shoulders. Kyle wasn't interested in leaving, but I said to him in that moment, I'm like, you have to make the choice for you. Mm-hmm. You can't make the choice because I'm here. You have to make the choice of if you're staying in the meetings, you are staying for you. And if you need to take time to make that choice, that's okay. But it can't be because of me, because that's not good. You have to stay because of you. There was never a thought in his head that he was going anywhere. But I think that was key that, again, I reckon that was the spirit that day. Mm-hmm. I think that's key that in that time, because it wouldn't have been, I'm staying because I'm in love with a girl. You have to stay with the Lord because you love the Lord.
That was one of those very difficult conversations to have, but at the same time, it was very easy.
It was very easy.
And it was simply because, again, both being spirit filled and having a relationship when both are spirit filled, mm-hmm. there's that unity and that common understanding. So we both knew, and I was going through the whole thing completely leaning on the Lord, as you do with anything. And I remember saying to her in this conversation, you know, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but at the end of the day, both of us are going to do what the Lord wants us to do. And that's it. And that's the only thing that we knew. And that was the assurance and the comfort that we had, that if we held on to that, then blessing would come from it.
Yeah.
So you're still lots of phone calls.
Lots of phone calls.
Lots of letters from you.
Yeah.
None from Kyle.
Yeah, some. But he would send me a lot of flowers. I made a big mistake. Never. This, like, no one should ever do this. I told him to stop sending me flowers. That was dumb.
Was it dumb?
It was dumb because he listened.
No flowers since then?
Oh, no. Or, look, when we were dating, he was smooth. He was Mr. Romance. He did well. So, like, there was the trip of the wedding when we were coming over to get married, he had flowers delivered to my office, a big bunch of roses with a note on it. And he had set up kind of like, what do you call it? It's not a scavenger hunt. What do you call that?
I don't know. Just a bunch of clues.
Different clues all around, like, Bristol, where I had to, like, the city centre, and he'd tell me to go to the next location to try and find where he was.
They were all places that we had you know, either been to or
a day
yeah.
Time.
Yeah. 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 So he ended up being stood at the top of this tower with another bunch of roses. So, yeah.
After she got over the frustration.
Kyle, mate, seriously, like, you're setting the bar very high.
Oh, I remember it. Wait, there's we have this tradition called promise rings. Have you heard of that?
No.
No, so it's just, we're not engaged yet, but I promise, kind of like your mind thing. And I remember it's an English thing, I think, maybe. Anyway, I said to Kyle one day, just being cheeky, I'd read a scripture, come across it. It was a bit funny. It's like, oh, you should build your foundations upon diamonds and sapphires. I was like, look what the Lord showed me this morning, Kyle. Anyway, he'd gone out and bought me a promise ring with diamonds and sapphires in it. Oh. See, he was good when we were dating.
Yeah, he's listening. And so you said you organized the wedding.
Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit.
Yes.
You got engaged, obviously.
Got engaged.
Yeah.
And actually that night we got engaged, it was coming near the end of that trip, at the end of that 10 months, it was coming to the end, and we hadn't got engaged yet. And I remember praying that night. We had a time of prayer together. And in that time of prayer, it's like, Lord, you're going to, because I was wondering, maybe it's not going to happen this trip. Because we had spoken about, like, the future and stuff. And I remember in that prayer, it's like, you're going to have to give me something to help me get me through this next lot, because this is going to be hard again.
Yeah.
But that night, little did I know, while I was praying, he had gotten on the phone, because he didn't know he was going to propose that night. But all of a sudden, because I had actually done a nice dinner for us and all of that, he was texting the lovely old lady that he was staying with, can you quickly come drop off the ring for me? So all of this, and then all of a sudden he's leaving the room while I'm praying. And little did I know, this little old lady's at our front door, giving Kyle the engagement ring. Yeah.
Cracked the door open. sticks her hand through the door with the ring in the box and hands it to me. And she's got this big smile on her face and snuck off.
So you got engaged.
Yep.
And then how long after that did you get married?
Oh, I was just trying to remember that.
It's probably like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where did you get married?
Bristol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So how are you here?
I came here with realistic expectations of I'm going to have hard days.
Yeah.
and they didn't really turn up all that much. This assembly is extremely welcoming. That's one thing I noticed when I first came here. Very loving, very welcoming, and they just took me under their wings, and I was ready for that phase of life. There were certain things of being a wife that didn't come overly naturally. I had to work at, like, some ladies find it very easy to keep a house. That wasn't one of my natural talents. So there were certain struggles within the first year I had to get used to. So that was probably more of the shock. And as well, transitioning from being a fiancé to a wife, that's a different relationship.
Well, and the fact that you're actually now together.
Yes.
Right, as opposed to having this time apart and your own space, now you're together 24/7.
Yeah. So the first year was an adjustment. It was good, but that first year there was a lot because I've got a big personality.
Really?
Nah, not really.
I saw it. Oh, no. Okay.
The first year was an adjustment, but I think, what can you say to that?
I think the first year is always the
hardest. I think it's a little bit of a shock.
So much fun, and it's just a brutal shock.
It is a little bit of a shock.
Especially if you haven't lived out of home before.
Yes, and fortunately, Kyle had at that point, well, not unfortunate situations, but Kyle moved out of home when all that happened, and I hadn't. So there was a lot of, and I think growing, because I fully grew up in the Lord, because you're so protected, I think you can be a little bit immature, maybe for your age. So I had that going for me too. A little bit. But we've really kind of grown into it, and now we're in a place where it's, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you meet a young couple who's dating.
Right.
What advice do you give them? And then they're dating long distance. What advice do you give them?
I think it's the same advice that I'd give either or, because as long as the principles, they apply to both situations. Build your relationship upon the things of the Lord, whether it's close or long distance. Put the Lord first in everything, and He will bless that situation. And if you need strength to get through it, He'll give it to you. If you need patience, He'll give it to you. If whatever you need to get through it. And so I think it applies no matter what. You put the Lord first, build your relationship on the things of the Lord. And that's the critical thing.
I would also say, because I think it's getting lost in not necessarily people who are saved, not necessarily in the Lord, but the man to be a man and for the woman to allow the man to be the man. I think that's also key. I really do. I think don't underestimate that. I think that's also key. Men lead. I think that's also super important to lead in it. The girl leading a romance, that's not going to...
Obviously, there's huge. I mean, that was 17 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of differences in forms of communication. And now, you know, talking to some of the ones that are dating now, and the things and their creativity and the things that they've been able to do with Zoom and other forms of communication. So I think communication is critical, like we talked about. I think there's more opportunity now than what we had, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But verbal, like we said, I think verbal communication is
number one,
as much as possible.
And also, I say key as well, don't be shocked when temptation comes knocking at your door, because it's going to come. And when one is down, the other there is to lift the other one up, because you're young, and it doesn't matter if you're young or old.
That's
don't be
true.
Shocked when it comes up, because it's going to come up for everyone. Be prepared for it, and one of you's got to be strong.
Yeah.
I think that's also key, because we lose so many sweet souls because they've done the wrong thing.
Well, I think that's actually a critical point.
Yeah.
Whether, as much as you hesitate to mention it, because when it is long distance, those moments that you're together are even more valued than maybe normal relationships. Because it's a sliver of moment in time that you get. So
yeah, I actually think that's a super important thing, because you could lose it all.
Well, as you say, you know, if you put the Lord first, right, you want Him in the relationship too, right? And that's important, right? And He's set up a structure and a way, and He's told us what we can and shouldn't do in the Word. So let's do that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you so much, both.
No worries.
That was really good. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Byron Teagan, welcome to He Says, She Says, God Says.
Thanks for having us.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about long-distance relationships, of which you have some pretty significant experience to share with us.
Yeah.
So you live now here in Vancouver?
Vancouver, Canada, yeah. British Columbia, Canada.
So you both didn't start out living in Vancouver, did you?
No.
So where are you from?
I'm from Tasmania.
Just down the road from where are you?
And I'm from Northern California.
Northern California. So how did you meet?
Well, we met at a camp, but actually she had a friend that came to visit the fellowship a year before. And that's the first time I heard about, you know, I heard her name. So I said, oh, I have a friend named Tegan. And yeah, she's, you know, basically a good friend. Okay. So, you know, that was in my head. And then, yeah, it was about a year later, I heard that this Tegan was going to be coming to camp. It's like, okay. And so, you know, she came to a Wednesday meeting.
And kind of, we didn't really acknowledge each other. But then we had fellowship
after the meeting with other saints. And, you know, they said, come along. Yep. So I came along and then basically, you know, didn't talk the whole time.
Yeah.
Until the very end, you know. I think I said something like, you know, oh, you're Tegan. I must have heard your name at least 10 different times.
Yeah. And I just remember his accent was different than the Canadians. He was really quiet and then all of a sudden he had this really strong voice. Yeah. That's about it. There was nothing going on and I was going to the Rockies with some friends for about a week before camp. So I think the next time we spoke, you were asking how that trip went.
So when did the romantic interest start?
And that was at, yeah, so we had a camp in Washington, which was quite a few hours' drive from where we are in Vancouver. So, yeah, I got down there and then the first thing I noticed when we got there, it was like this foggy campsite with everyone's having to set up tents and it's always like this misty environment, so it's a bit wet. And I just noticed Byron, like, helping set up all these people's tents. So I just saw that. There's no attraction or anything else at that point. It was just I noticed how helpful he was. Yeah. So as a sister, that's something that's nice to see. And then different saints would have, like, we'd have these camp. Everyone would have a campfire pretty much at their site with their little setup. So I'd get invited by somebody and then Byron would get invited by somewhere else. We'd always end up at the same. Same. I don't know if any of it was set up, but I think a lot of it just like organically, It felt very organic. So we just end up sitting by each other and then one of us must have liked the other. We didn't know how each other felt at all. So we just started talking and I started to hear his backstory a little bit. And then I think we played, some different sports and we ended up, when you're attracted, it's like you just start to, we call it like magnetism.
Yeah.
It's like magnets. You just start ending up at the same place and outings and talking.
And then there would be, I think there was one point where, you know, the pastor at the time just said, you know, what's on your mind? You know, because I guess.
Yeah, he asked you that.
Yeah, because everyone's looking from the outside, right? What's going on, you know? And I remember saying I would regret basically knowing anyone, not knowing anyone, you know, like a certain person if camp just ended and that was it, you know? He said, oh, who would that be? And I was, oh, Tegan. So that's kind of how, like someone got it out of me and, you know, it's good that it was pastor. So, yeah, then, you know, because I was probably in the fellowship for, you know, 2-3 years at that point. I didn't really have any examples of people dating. Everyone was already married or something like that, or there were young people. So, you know, I had to ask pastor pretty much everything. Well, what do you do? What am I supposed to do? You know? And he just said, you know, well, you ask her out to coffee, you know, and she says no. Okay.
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think, might've been a day or maybe that same day. I'm not sure. But I asked, Tegan, would you like to go for coffee? And she said, yes. Okay, great.
We didn't make plans.
Step one.
He asked me, we didn't make plans. We talked about things. And then the next day, I'm like waiting.
All day passes,
I'm waiting to hear what's going on.
So then pastor asked me, oh, so what happened?
Oh, she said, yes. Okay, so what are you going to do? I don't know.
We're in Ocean Shores. It's this little town where there's not much happening. It's like a twilight zone city.
And there's no like nice cafes or restaurants or anything. So I think he was
so he said, pick a nice place, you know, and take her there, you know. So just decided, let's get some food and then we'll take it back to the beach and have it on the beach, you know.
So it's a nice plan, but then there was like 40 seagulls at the beach. And the seagulls in like America and Canada are like, it's like seagulls on steroids, so like three times the sizes. Like and that. They're all flying, trying to get into the car. So we just sat there. It was a memorable first. Trying to get our Thai food. And you're trying to eat Thai on a date without it spilling on your lap in the car. So it was good though.
Yeah, but things went well, and then, you know, camp is only 2 weeks long, right? And yeah, I think, you know, of course, you're seeking the Lord about things, looking for scriptures, want the Lord's blessing on everything. And near, I guess it was like the last day of camp, was when I asked her, if she wanted to date, you know, I was so into formalities, like format stuff. How am I supposed to say it? You know, would you like to be my, you know, sister in the Lord or something like that?
Or court me or something kind of old English.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it all worked out, and yeah, we started dating that last day of camp.
And then what happened? How long before you went back home?
So yeah, I would turn 30, so I was feeling it being single and 30.
So were you both looking for a partner?
No.
I'd been praying about it since I was probably 19. So
yeah,
it was a bit of a trial.
Yeah.
Being single for so long. And yeah, there just wasn't ever that many brothers or any around my age. And but I didn't ever plan. I did a lot of travel, but I never like planned to travel to find someone. Yeah. It was just like whenever, whoever the Lord puts that together. But I hadn't heard there was anyone in my age kind of group in Canada, so I really wasn't expecting it at all. But yeah, my story was I worked in real estate for 7 years. I'd asked for my 30th. I knew I wanted to do a big trip. And I thought like maybe 3 months, like a full-on proper trip. Asked for time off the year before and they said ask closer to the time. And when it came to it, they decided they couldn't afford for me to be gone that long. And I'd never left a job without having another job to go to. I was trying like be sensible with those kind of things. I had a house, so I didn't want to like not have that covered.
Yeah.
I had tenants in it, but yeah. So, but I just really felt that I had to do this. And it was so unlike me to do that kind of thing. So yeah, I resigned and then I had a friend that was coming to Canada camp. And then I knew there was an England camp at the same time. So I prayed about it and chose to come to Canada. So the plan was a week or so before camp, do the Rockies, have camp, have a week or so after, then fly to London. And then I was going to see different saints and fellowships and travel around a bit of Europe.
So a couple of months in Europe.
You know, 2 months in Europe. So I was like, yeah, my history is like my dad's side's all from France. So I was actually going to meet him over there and we had a big thing planned. So when I met Byron and we knew it was serious and we were older too, and I think we just knew fairly well within the first few weeks that this was kind of it. Sounds very fast, but we just both felt really confident and very relaxed around each other. So yeah, I just prayed about it. I asked Pastor Smith if it'd be okay if I stayed for 3 months in Canada. So the answer was yes. And
so you cancel the rest of the
My trip, it was interesting because my parents were both saved as well. So I was going to, you know, go over there with my dad for some of it, meet him there. And Dad and I, before I left, had organized a few times to sit down and book accommodation and flights for the Europe part. And we both work full time and work was really busy for both of us. And every time we sat down, it just didn't flow. We weren't getting the kind of places we wanted and we're just like, oh, we'll put it off. And then we thought, look, when we get there, we'll always book, you know, a few days in advance and we'll just do that kind of trip that's more flowy. So it was a blessing because I just had my flight from Vancouver to London and I just shifted that back to like the last week of the whole trip. So it was interesting that the Lord put it together that, you know, I had this flexibility and I wasn't locked into all these tours and, you know, flights. And So I stayed and we saw each other every day for 3 months.
That's pretty intense to go from zero to every day for 3 months.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I felt like the Lord, you know, was showing me that I was ready to, you know, start looking, basically being with someone. You know, I was, for a long time, I was single, like, you know, before coming to the fellowship. And then even in the fellowship, I think the Lord was showing me I still wasn't ready, you know, some of the scriptures that I've seen. But then at that time, I was already at a point where I felt like I was alone. You know, I knew the Lord had something bigger planned for me. So yeah, it was just, we were both in the same place where, you know, we were ready for, you know, someone to be in our lives. And
so what happened at the end of 3 months?
So let's see, maybe was it like a couple of weeks before?
Yeah, like a week weeks. Or so. Yeah, it would be 2 weeks before.
A couple of weeks before she was going to leave, I proposed to her. And yeah, we...
It sounds fast, but then I think of the couples I know that have dated internationally, and you see each other every day for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and then there's months in between where you don't see each other. So we definitely knew. Yeah. And my dad helped because I think you were...
I kind of didn't want to ask her without her father there. I just, you know, I think there's just a traditional side of me wanting him there. And, you know, I finally got to speak to him, like, you know, we were...
Because he hadn't met my parents.
Yeah, I never met them before, you know. And I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure Tegan knew that I probably want to ask her father first, or his permission. And then he's just said, you know, if you have something to ask me, you can ask me over the phone. And that's, you know.
Yeah, my dad really liked him, and that was just via the phone, which, yeah. Like, he just felt so peaceful talking to Byron, like, just felt really good about it.
Yeah.
And then when we got engaged, so my mom ended up going on that trip, the Europe part, with my dad, so she thought it was amazing. Yeah. So when we rang them up to say, we're engaged. I was so happy, and they're in France, checking into a little hotel in France somewhere. So it was pretty special, like, to be all sharing something like that.
So now you're engaged at the end of 3 months.
Yes.
Do you have to go home?
Yeah, so I had to go back, and I think, at the time, Byron, which is another part of the story, was in the middle of all these visa renewals and issues. So I think it was always going to be easier for me to travel back. So, yeah, I had to go back and find work.
So, hang on. So, you're in Vancouver at this point?
Yep.
But your residency is in the US?
Yes, yep. US citizen living in Canada on a work visa that's soon to expire.
Yeah.
Once that work visa expires, then I just have to apply for visitor visas, you know, because...
But you can't work under visitor visas.
That's right.
No, yeah. You can't work under visitor visas. So, yeah, it was about to start to get tricky at that point. And yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty. And that's probably, you know, what affected, you know, being able to get married right away. You know, you're going to be coming to another country where you're the soon to be husband doesn't even have a status, right?
Yeah. So
yes.
It's a bit complicated there, yeah. Right? And so you got to definitely have the Lord's hand on things.
And so how so you'd gone home?
I went back and then, or maybe was it you that came over next at Christmas time? Or
yeah, I think I came.
I think it was, yeah, you came at like in January or something.
Came to visit, met like her grandparents.
And so how far from when you left did you come?
So, yeah,
6 months? 6 months?
Yeah, yeah, 6 months. It was 6 months we didn't see each other.
And what did you do in that 6 months?
I think I started working for a temp agency because I figured if I'm going to be doing back and forth, temp agency is the way to go because you can, like, get a job offer for 3 months and try and save as much as you can and then travel. And I prayed about it, and it was amazing because I'd work and just earn just enough, and it'd be a good timing, and then I'd go do a visit over here, go back and start again. But it's like the Lord would always just have the perfect position.
And we'd just be talking, and that's when, and Skype was pretty big back then. So every now and then we might Skype, you know, but it was mostly talking over the phone to keep things.
Yeah.
You know, keep things.
And how often are you talking?
So, yeah, it was, I'd had various jobs, but I think it was tricky with the time zone. So in the morning I'd get a big message from him of everything he'd done that afternoon, evening and everything.
Yeah.
And then I'd just send back this quick one because I've just got up and I'm going to work. So he'd feel that because he'd wait
I know it's not a long time when you're together, but when you're apart, like you're waiting to hear from someone, and you get this short little, oh, just getting up and last night mum and I went for a walk, like I didn't have much to share, and then
So how did that feel? You poured all your
detail out. Well, that's the like difference in personalities. You know, I would rather text, where she would rather talk. One on one. So, yeah, I would feel like, oh, that's it. You know,
short. Yeah,
that's a bit short. Yeah,
you're learning that about each other. So you don't really know when you're together. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
But then when you're apart, you're finding out things that affect the other person that you just have no clue of or you're not aware of.
And was that tricky? Did you have to have a conversation about that?
We'd have to, because we always wanted to keep an open communication between each other. And yeah, if there was ever anything bothering either of us, we would talk about it, you know. And so, yeah, she just said, you know, I came to the understanding that, you know, we're on different time zones and she doesn't have, you know, she just doesn't have all the time, right? She could be on her lunch break, and then that's probably a time where we could talk. That's
not going to be. But you'd be off and working.
Yeah.
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 Or just getting up for work.
Yeah. Just had to understand that, we weren't always going to be able to communicate the way I wanted to or the way that she wanted to. And so, you know, I know, like, after a while, you know, that took its toll, right? Yes.
And you'd been saved a couple of years, and there were some things that you were still figuring out about. With your, like, nature.
Basically my own flesh or my own nature. Yeah, I had a lot of, like, for myself, I had a lot of jealousy problems. Wow. That was, you know, that's just...
Which isn't apparent in Byron as a person. Yeah. I had no clue because it doesn't come across like we'd have fellowship with people and everything was fine and yeah. I didn't think anything of it. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was over it. And I'm, at that time, that 6 months, I'm in a country... in a city with all the fellowship in Launceston. He's never met any of them before. I'm saying names.
Who's this? Who's that? Where's this? Where's that? You know, it's like...
Yes.
You know, I just...
And I'd have, brothers I'd grown up with, so I was born in the Lord, so I had brothers I'd known my whole life, and I might go play tennis and my brother might join as well, and there might not be many other sisters there. And I loved playing tennis, so I'm just thinking I'm playing tennis... with these people.
And Byron's on the other side of the world thinking, who's this dude? Yes. Like, what's he doing?
Right.
Yeah,
he's moving in on my turf.
Yeah. So he was, and they were, and some of them were married, and I was really good friends with their wives. Yeah. So I just wasn't thinking that way. And as soon as he made it, like,
as soon as I got to come,
told me how he felt, then I could understand where he was coming from 100%, but I just wasn't thinking that way because it's how I was before we met. So we had this thing and he didn't want to feel how he was feeling, but he just did anyway. So it kept on coming up like say we're sharing stories and then I wouldn't know that would trigger something within him that he didn't know he had. Which I think stems from what happened when you were a kid.
Yeah, just my own environment and my own parents and things like that.
And so did that get resolved?
Yeah.
Did you still feel that way?
No, I had the Lord took it away. Yeah, yeah. I remember I was in Kelowna, British Columbia on a work trip. And, you know, it was just something that I asked the Lord to take away because it was, you know,
it was affecting our relationship.
Yeah, it was taxing her, like, you know, this is not good and there shouldn't be this feeling with me, this fleshy kind of feeling with me.
Well, it's counter to what you said. It felt like at the beginning so natural.
Yes. Right?
I imagine you would have to be on guard or on edge, you know.
Yeah, so when we were together and that 3 months were together, that didn't come up and then all of a sudden I'm dealing, and it was heavy, like it was... He was really upset about things and I couldn't understand how he got to that level of being upset.
Yeah.
And that even if I explained what happened, then I'd be more mindful of who I hung out with or who was there. And I was like, okay, I understand that bothers him. So we'll but he'd still get it over little things. But I think it's from having, like, when you were a child and your family life and how you had to be so protective of your mom and had like this overprotective nature, that kind of came out. But yeah, it was amazing because we both prayed about it. We're both really upset about it. I know he didn't want to feel it and I didn't want to have it happen. And it just went away, I'd say, just like in a week. It's just completely, it's like the Lord just deleted that element away.
Praise the Lord. That's cool. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's amazing. And so obviously, you know, your relationship continued and it developed and, you know.
Yeah, so we never had like a marriage date set because of all the visa issues, like obviously Byron and the pastor, and they want to have a brother that when a sister comes and moves to Canada, she's secure and has someone that can provide and look after her. But the logistics were the opposite, like, and we couldn't change that. That wasn't like I knew he was a hard worker because I'd seen that for myself when he did have that working visa, but legally he couldn't work in Canada. So there was this kind of like really waiting on the Lord. And
did it make you question whether, you know, because I assume it got pretty hard.
Yeah.
To make you question whether this was the right thing or not.
It got to the point where, you know, I had to tell pastor, you know, I was like, you know, there's something inside of me that's starting to go like, you know, I don't care how things are going to end up, you know, kind of starting to lose hope because so much time is going by. And, you know, this is such a difficult situation or a complicated situation. Right. And so, yeah, there was encouragement to where I think it was said, if you've found work, full-time work in the States or something like that, then you can go for it. Okay. You know, so when I, you know, put resumes out and got accepted for the United States Postal Service, you know, government jobs, I'm like, okay, I got, you know, I'm taking drug tests for it. It's all on the U.S. side. So I'm going in between the two. But at the same time, you know, I had a, you know, Canadian lawyer, immigration lawyer. And it wasn't until after, you know, we got married. He said, you know, you can't go back and forth to the United States, working in the United States and living in Canada. It's not
going to be good for your paperwork or something. Yeah. But we got the green light to get married. So I think that was just a big win for us because we just really knew we had to be together and then figure it out. It got to a point where it's like, we're just going to have to figure this out together versus apart, because apart was getting too grueling.
Too hard, yeah.
Yeah. And I was obviously in my 30s, he was in his late 30s, and we're just like, we just want to get on with our lives. Like, it's been a long process. So, yeah, Byron had done, I think you got a sponsorship from a flooring company to sponsor you, which we're really excited about.
And I worked for them before, so they were, you know, they were excited to have me come on, you know. And
so that was looking like a really good, that was like what was happening in the background during this engagement process. Yeah. And that went for 6 months, and then that was the significant thing that happened. I'd come over for camp and my parents had come as well. And it was the day before camp and we're getting everything ready, and it was a big pack up because we had like tents and all of these things to get all the way down to America and set up. So it's like a busy, busy day. And Byron received a call or a message from the manager. Yeah.
That flooring company saying, you know, they were going to pull out from sponsoring me.
And at the time, your visa that you had expired the day after camp, and so yeah, the visa he was on
was that a tourist visa?
It must have been. I don't remember.
I think it was just a visitor visa.
Yeah.
So that was expiring, and then the paperwork that we were going to be presenting that he was going to present at the border, saying, you know, has someone sponsoring him, that all got cut.
Like the whole rug was pulled under.
Yeah.
And at the exact same day, I'd applied for a holiday working visa for Canada, and I'd got a green light all the way through. I'd got through to the last stage and I was approved for everything all along. And they just took longer processing it than what they should. And there's an acceptance letter they send you saying, we've accepted you for this program and everything else. Anyway, that has an expiry date on it, which I never noticed, because you just get accepted. You start all the processes, you do it as soon as the next thing comes along. I get an email saying my visa's declined because...
She's no longer 30.
No, not 30, but it expired. That letter, the acceptance period had expired, which was the government's fault for taking so long to process it. So it was completely out of my control. I hadn't not done anything I should have or didn't hand something in on time. So we both get this negative report on the same day before what? Camp. And we're thinking...
What were you thinking?
So we're thinking... Like, we're stressing out.
I hope they let us back into Canada.
Mostly because we have to like step out in faith and go to camp for 2 weeks, hoping that my fiance is going to be allowed back into Canada and we're not going to be stuck between countries or something. So that
And did at any point you think, well, we'll have to settle in the US instead or?
That was a thought. Yeah, that came across as a thought, like, you know, maybe we would live somewhere close to the border and, you know, maybe we can go over to the meetings on the weekends or something like that.
And there was a little fellowship in Los Angeles, but it was very small and we felt like our core group of friends and fellowship and ministry was in Vancouver. Else it was possibly, yeah, Tasmania, but yeah, we were just feeling like it was going to be here.
Well, the Lord blessed the situation at the border and they let us back in, you know, at least, yeah, she almost didn't,
yeah.
So how long did this process, you know, how long was this up in the air around where you were going to live?
Probably a year.
Oh, wow, that's a long time, isn't it?
It's a long time when you're dating because usually like a couple meets and then they go, oh, let's propose to the other one and then we'll set our date for the wedding and then we'll plan where we're going to rent or whatever you're going to do. Yeah. Everything for us was like, when will we, what month? And then I'm trying to get a wedding dress or a venue for a wedding. When do you think it's going to be? Oh, maybe September, but it could be January. We're not really sure. So that was really difficult planning anything.
Must have meant that you had to really dig deep on your faith that
the really Lord had this in hand. To rely on the Lord.
But I feel like the Lord would give little things like, yeah, there's so many little things that happened along the way that would just, oh, the Lord was in this or the Lord was in that. Yeah. Like you could see and that was what helped.
Which is an important piece, right? Because in the face of such adversity, you can really look at it two ways. You can be really negative about it and miss those things, the small things that the Lord does, or you can be positive that the Lord's got it in hand and see the little things that he does that continues to build your hope. So how exciting was it when you finally had residency and you could finally work here?
Yeah, so that was interesting. So when we got it, yeah, I think we probably went out for a nice Greek dinner or something, celebrated. And we didn't have to live off savings anymore.
So you lived off savings for an entire year?
Yeah, off my it was my savings because Byron had spent quite a bit of money on legal fees, moving and everything. So, yeah, my savings from before he was saved, yeah. So,
wow.
So my savings, another thing was like you'd have people over for fellowship. Canada's very hospitable. People have you for big dinners all the time.
Yeah.
And you get married and you feel like you need to live up to that level, but I just knew everything we spent every month our savings would go down. It would never stay level or go up. So Mum and Dad, they helped a lot. Yeah. Just like they helped with things, and I had things in Australia I could sell and things like that. But yeah, I just remember having to look to the Lord about inviting people over for fellowship and providing meals or people inviting us out for dinner and not having this fear about it all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when we got permanent residency and you could work, you already had a job lined up, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So. What a mammoth period of time. So how long from the day, you know, you met at that first camp until the permanent residency had come through?
Yeah, we started dating on basically August 1st, 2014, and we got the permanent residency January of 2017.
Yeah, wow, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it was good because then if other things come up in your marriage or not even in your marriage, just like life, it's not really a big deal compared to all the things you've had to go through. And you're really grateful. Like I remember my mum and dad's story of what they had when they started off and not having much. You're just so grateful of like little things, yeah. like, yeah.
So if you're talking to a young couple, you know, or an old couple or a middle-aged couple who are starting dating long distance, what advice do you have for them?
Keep an open communication between each other. Don't keep anything from each other.
Yeah, share it straight away. Like, don't hold it in for a couple of weeks and share it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure the Lord's the glue.
Yeah.
That's very important to have the Lord always balancing things, you know, bringing things back to where it all started. Like,
you can get all these things can kind of take away from how it started and,
yeah.
And you can think too much forward, whereas the path we ended up on was so different than what we thought. Like, we thought yeah. he'd be sponsored, and then we ended up getting permanent residency, which was even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was not thinking too far forward of how it's all gonna
yeah.
figure itself out.
Yeah.
And then looking into paperwork and what you'd need to do fairly early on.
Yeah.
Rather than
making some mistakes along the way and learning by that.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to start up paperwork. It often doesn't cost too much, and it's a long process. So the sooner you can start it, even if that's not what ends up.
Yeah, okay, and cool. advice that was given to me in the early days was like, you know, sometimes you have to compromise something, you know, for the other person, you know, depending on what that is, you know, it's not always going to be your way, you know, sometimes you have to give up something to meet the other person halfway. So, yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you got a couple of kids now?
Yeah. Two Canadian kids and we're...
That's pretty exciting.
We live in Canada, yeah.
Living in Canada, yeah.
Yeah, the Lord's really blessed with, like, housing and everything because, yeah, when I moved here, it just didn't seem possible that we'd ever have a house.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how it all started and Byron's background.
Came from the basement suite.
One bedroom, one closet between both of us.
And housing's pretty expensive here.
It is.
What I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. What a great blessing for you both. Well, thank you so much for sharing
the
story.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Well, I'm so impressed with the vulnerability of the couples that shared their stories. I thought Byron and Tegan and Kyle and Jess really did just open up and tell us some wonderful stories.
Yeah, they did.
About navigating the challenges of dating remotely. Being so far away from each other.
Wow, and just the different ways that they came together as well and found each other, and both of those couples found each other on different continents as a result of travelling and coming across each other. So
yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. So I hope you enjoyed these episodes. I hope you got some tips out of there for your own relationships if you're dating or even if you're married now. There's still some great ideas in there, some great learnings and lessons. So, yeah, thanks again to our couples. That was great.
Thank you.
Until next time, he says...
She says...
God says...